thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right, so we're going to continue with our Psalm series. Today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 14. Actually, Psalm 53 is very similar, so it's actually Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, but I'm going to be just focusing on Psalm 14 today. If you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. For the director of music of David, the fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on the Lord. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and let Israel be glad." Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words, this song of David. Father, as we look to your word this morning, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our eyes and our hearts and our ears today. Help us to see you. Would you transform us, Holy Spirit, from the inside out? We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, please be seated. So I was on the phone the other day with a pastor friend of mine, and he is a bivocational pastor. So he does another job during the week, and then he's a pastor on Sundays. And so he was working at his other job, and he yells out, "I am such a fool." He wasn't paying attention because he was talking to me, and he was putting together something, and I guess he forgot to put the first part in. So he put the whole thing together, and after he screwed it all tight, he looked down, and then there it is, the first part that had to go in. So he had to take the whole thing apart, and I think he was trying to blame me because I was on the phone with him while he was putting this together, but he called himself a fool. And he was just blaming himself. He was like, "Oh, I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I did that." And so he is calling himself a fool based on what his definition of a fool is. Now, when you call yourself a fool, that's okay, I suppose. But today we're going to look at what God calls a fool. When God says A, B, and C is a fool, what does that mean? So we're going to be looking at that today. But before we do, I just like this quote from Socrates. He says, "I'm a fool, but I know I'm a fool, and that makes me smarter than you." Right? Right? So we're all fools. We are all fools. Actually, there's a Bible study that somebody else is doing, and this other pastor, he said, "Oh, I need a cool name for our Bible study." It was a men's Bible study. So I happened to have been talking to him about 1 Corinthians 4:10, where the Apostle Paul says, you know, we are fools for Christ. So he goes, "Oh, I like that," you know. So he stole that name from me, and he has a Bible study called Fools for Christ. And that's, it's kind of interesting because when we call ourselves fools for Christ, that definition of fool comes from the world. right? Right? So the world will say we are fools, but God says we're not. And when God says we're fools, oftentimes the world does not say that. The world says the opposite. Right? So we live in this fallen world where if we follow Christ, to the world, we are going to look like fools. And it's okay to be fools for Christ. Amen? Amen. Yeah, yeah. So, Alan Ross said this about the psalm that I just read. Here is the description of the depravity in this psalm refers to unbelievers who persist in living as if there were no God. Okay, so there's a hint of what God calls fools. Okay, those who live as if there were no God. Earlier I said this psalm and Psalm 53 are very similar. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible, if something is repeated, that's God's way of saying, please pay attention. Pay attention to this. Right? There is no way of printing anything in bold, but if anything is repeated, then it must be important. Right? So here, Psalm 14 is almost repeated word for word in Psalm 53. And Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, the first three verses, is repeated again in Romans 3. So this text that we're looking at today is repeated three times in the Bible. So that means God really wants us to pay attention, doesn't he? Three times. Former Prime Minister Edward Heath said, I said it three times actually, when he was talking about how he was rejoicing when Margaret Thatcher lost everything in 1990, when her downfall was in 1990, and he was rejoicing. And he said, I said it three times. You know, so when God says three times, we need to pay attention to the text. So as I said earlier, Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Romans 3, 10 through 12, if you have that open, then you'll see that it's word for word exactly the same text, right? And in the Book of Common Prayer, James Montgomery Boyce points this out. It says, oftentimes when Scripture is repeated, we should read, we should mark, we should learn, and we should inwardly digest that. Right? So let's draw our attention to our word today, and maybe throughout this week, we could read Psalm 14, just every day, and let the word just enter into your hearts. Amen? And allow God to speak to you. So the psalm begins this way. For the director of music, we've talked about this many times. For the director of music, this is a worship song, and this is a song of David. So most likely David wrote this. And verse 1, he goes straight to the point. Of what a fool is. Okay, he says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So this section talks about what the fool speaks about God. The fool says in his heart, not in his mind, but in his heart. It's an inward thing that's happening. There is no God. If you look at the text in Hebrew, actually, there is doesn't even exist. It's not even there. So basically, the direct translation is this: no God. The fool says in his heart, no God. It's a declaration. It's coming from the heart. No God. And what does that mean? No God. That means no God for me. Right? There's no God for me. So this, you know, some commentators would say, oh, Psalm 14 is about atheists, right? And there are some atheists who are intellectually trying to prove that God doesn't exist, right? So there are the theoretical atheists, philosophical atheists. They use their mind to say, okay, God does not exist. But then there are those who live like God doesn't exist, and they're the practical atheists. And there are some of us who up here believe that God exists with our minds, but how we live does not indicate that we believe in God. So it's important for us to know that, what is your heart saying today? How are you living today? Are you living like God is with us and there is God? Or does your life look like there is no God? When you run into a problem, how do you solve that problem? Do you go to God or do you go somewhere else? Do you look in your pockets to see how much money you have to solve this problem? Or do you get down on your knees and you pray? Oftentimes, even when we're trying to motivate people, motivate our own children, our family members, we try to motivate them with our resources instead of asking God to help change their hearts. Behavior modification does not bring life change. Life change only happens when God works in our hearts, right? Transformation needs to take place from the inside out. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us. But so often, we try to shape people's behaviors from the outside. You need to do this. We do that with my daughter all the time. If you want to use your phone, you need to clean your room. Right? If you want contacts, you need to get better grades. And so she's motivated, She's not here today, sorry. But she's motivated and she's studying hard, and I love that. I love that she's studying hard. But her motivation is, she wants contacts, right? Or she wants to use her phone. And sometimes our relationship with God is like that too. God, you need to show up and do this for me. Right? I want to get promoted, God. Or I want to move into a new house. I need a new job, God. And so if I do A, B, and C, would you do this? So we start to negotiate with God, And that's our relationship with God that we have. But that's a transactional relationship, and God does not want that kind of relationship with us. Everything that we do flows from His grace, His love for us. Amen? Knowing that He saved us, that's where it needs to flow out of. It's not conditional where if I do A, B, and C, God will do all this for me. No. God has already done. Jesus has already said, it is finished. He completed the work for you and me so that we could spend eternity with Him. Amen? He's already done it. So what's our response? Worship. And everything we do flows out of that, or should flow out of that. Our God is not a genie, but our God is God. If we live any other way, like He's a genie, or I have to do this for God to do this for me, then we are no different than the fools here who are saying, no God. We are living our lives like there is no God. So what is your heart saying today? Let's examine our hearts today, and let's make sure that we are not saying no God. Amen? No God. Derek Kidner said this about this verse. There is no God, that phrase, is in fact treated in Scripture not as a sincere if misguided conviction, but as an irresponsible gesture of defiance. Defiance. Here's another quote, many do not believe God exists because they do not want God to exist. At least, not a God like the one revealed in the Bible. So that interesting word, if you do a word study on that word fool, it's in Hebrew, Nabal, and Nabal is actually also mentioned in 1 Samuel. So if you Look at 1 Samuel. Abigail says this, "Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him." I often wonder, like, why would a parent name their child fool? Did you ever think about that? Yeah. Why would you ever name your child Nabal, fool? So, but it comes from being proud, self-sufficient, you know, being blind to what God is doing. So, in essence, if we live as there is no God, we are also fools. We are also fools. And what is the result of being this fool, acting like there is no God? Well, the results are the rest of verse 1. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. And there is no one who does good. There's no one who does good. That's the result of being a fool. That's the result of living like there is no God. No God for me. So now the next set of verses, God speaks about the fool. So here's what's interesting. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind. We need to remember this. The Lord is looking down always. We feel like sometimes God is distant. He's not with me. And yet, Scripture says that God is with us, and Scripture says that God looks down from heaven on all mankind. We cannot hide from God. We cannot hide our sins from God either. So if we have unconfessed sins, today is a great day to confess to Him. Amen? Amen. Don't live your life like God doesn't know. He does. He does. So God is looking down from heaven on all of us, all mankind, to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Are there any who understand? Are there any who seek God? Here's the result. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. And there is no one who does good. Didn't we just read that? There is no one who does good. Right? Verse 1 ends that way. There is no one who does good. And now, when God looks down from heaven and He's examining all of mankind, His conclusion is, there is no one who does good, not even one. Doesn't this remind us of Romans 3:23, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned. There is no one, except for there is one, Jesus Christ. He's the only one who lived without sin. He's the only one who did good. But when it comes to everyone else, anyone in the Bible, any one of us here, we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And so that's the conclusion here. So we are all among those who are not doing good. We are all among that. So these three verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, are what's repeated in Romans 3:10 through 12 as well. It may look a little different because the Apostle Paul uses the Greek Bible there, the Septuagint, when he quotes the text. So it's slightly different, but it's the same text. And the point he's trying to make is that those who deny God are fools. God has revealed Himself. He made it clear. Romans 1 is another great text to look at, which is a commentary on these verses. Because God has shown Himself to all of us. So for us to say there is no God, it means we are being defiant. We want to live the way we want to live. We don't want to be told how to live. We want to be our own gods. We want to be the ones who say what is right from wrong. Not looking to Scripture to see what is right from wrong. No wonder, you know, when you look at what's happening around the world, around our lives here today in America. The world is trying to say what's right and what's wrong. And when it goes against what's in Scripture, then we need to react. Amen? We should not be sitting still. So when the world is saying what the Bible is saying wrong, if the world is trying to make it right, then we need to say, no, that is wrong. And if the world calls us fools, let them call us fools. Because that's what it means to be fools for Christ. Amen? Don't be afraid to be a fool for Christ. Let them. I would rather let the world call me a fool than God call me a fool. Let's be fools for Christ. And then the song continues talking about the way of the fool. Starts with the question, do all these evildoers know nothing? Do all these evildoers know nothing? And then he's talking about the evildoers, right? They devour my people. So who's speaking here? Sounds like God, right? They devour my people as though eating bread. Devouring my people can mean taking advantage of, taking the wealth, freedom, or even lives of those who are God's people. They never call on the Lord. What does it mean to call upon the Lord? That means to rely on God. So these evildoers, they devour God's people. If you ever feel persecuted because you are a believer, you should not be surprised. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread. Here's the interesting thing is, they are overwhelmed with dread. Why are the evildoers overwhelmed with dread? It says here, for God is present in the company of righteous. So they're deep down, they're longing for God's presence. But instead of looking to God, they're trying to fill that hole with the world. They just keep feeding this thing, this hole that only God could fill. And that's why they're living in dread. And that's why when you talk to people who don't know God, there is something missing in their lives. It doesn't matter how wealthy they are, how successful they are. They're always striving for something, and that something is really God. That's what they need. And then he continues, you evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor. But the Lord is their refuge. So if people around you are frustrating you because of your faith in Jesus, that's okay. Who do you go to when life doesn't make sense? Who do you go to when those around you are frustrating you? Who do you run to? Whereas the fool will cry out, there is no God, those of us who belong to him, what do we say? The Lord is my refuge. You see the difference there. There is no God. The Lord is my refuge. Do you trust in him? Do you rely on him? Do you call upon him? Is your mind fixed on him? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus? And that's the difference between, from God's perspective, the fool and his child. Those who belong to him and those who don't. What is your heart saying today? Is your heart saying, the Lord is my refuge? In him I trust. He's the one who protects me. He's the one who sustains me. He's the one who gives me life. Or are you seeking protection from somewhere else? I pray that we all go to him. We all go to him. Actually, that frustrate the plans of the poor. In the ESV, it's translated slightly differently. It says, shame the plans of the poor. Shame. When I read that ESV version, the shame, I could not think of, I could only think of Christ's death on the cross, the shame that he took upon himself when he died on the cross. Scorning its shame. So as evildoers frustrate the plans of the Lord, you know, as we could call out to God and say, he is my refuge because of what Christ has done on the cross. He scorned the shame so that when shame comes our way, we could look to Jesus. He has done it. He took the shame so we don't have to. He died the death so that we don't have to. That's the power of the cross. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. So you see how even this psalm is pointing us to Jesus. It's driving us to Jesus Christ. Are you feeling shameful today? Run to him. Are you feeling hopeless today? Run to him. Are you feeling weak today? Run to him. May he give you hope. May he give you strength. May he give you courage to live in this fallen world. And then the psalm ends with a prayer. A prayer of sorts. There's hope here. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. So this is David's prayer at the end, longing for God's salvation, longing for the Lord's salvation, this great day to come. And you see, he's saying, Lord, come. Come out of Zion. Come save us. And may we rejoice. May we be glad as you restore us. So how do we apply this? How do we say this prayer that David prayed? How do we say that today? Well, we say it by saying what? Oh, Lord, come. Come quickly, Lord. You say that prayer, oh Lord, come. Come quickly, Lord. When we say that prayer, we are looking to God with hope, knowing that he's coming back, and we're saying, oh Lord, come. There's a phrase, there's a term that's used in the New Testament called Maranatha. Have you guys heard of Maranatha? And the meaning of Maranatha is what? Oh Lord, come. Maranatha, O Lord, come. It's a prayer that we could say. It's a prayer that we should say every day. O Lord, come. So you see how the psalm began with the fool saying who God is. And then you see towards the end how God reveals himself. God shows himself to us who he is. He's the one who looks down on us from heaven. He sees everything. But he's also the one who's going to come and save. That's who our God is. And so there are three practical things we could learn from this psalm. And the first thing is, and I've been saying this, is examine your heart. What is your heart saying today? It doesn't really matter what you're saying from up here. A lot of us who grew up in the church, we know all the Sunday school answers. But that's really not it. It's like, what is your heart saying? How are you living? Are you living as there is no God? Because God is, he's coming at us today. He doesn't care about our outward appearance, right? He looks at the heart. Sometimes we put our masks on when we come to church and, you know, we act like everything is fine. My relationship with God is good. And yet inside, there's a struggle. You're struggling with God. Or you're living life that, like there is no God. Your heart is saying there is no God, but up here you know that there is God, and you're trying to make this all work. Stop trying to pretend. Stop behaving. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, and may God transform you from the inside out. And this could only happen if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is he your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that he lived a life that you should have lived, but you couldn't? Do you believe that he died the death that you deserve? And when he died on the cross, he took your sin, your shame, and he clothed you with his righteousness when he died on the cross. Do you believe that? That is the only way we could change from the inside out. So practically, how are you living? What is your heart saying? So examine your heart today, and let's run to Jesus. Second thing is God repeating something to you? Is he saying something to you over and over again? And have you been ignoring God? Today is the day where we listen. Amen? What is God saying to you? What have you been putting off that God wants you to do? For some of us, it's reaching out to somebody. For some of us, it's forgiving somebody. For some of us, it may be asking for forgiveness. Let's make sure today is the day we follow God. Let's make sure that today is the day we do what what he's asking us to do. Amen. Amen? So what is he saying to you? What is he repeating over and over again? And lastly, or it should be maybe the first thing, is return to God. Let us run to God. Is God your refuge? Are you living under his protection? Who is your refuge? Let's make sure it is God. Let's make sure that we leave this place not knowing about God, but that we know God and we trust God. Knowing God is not enough. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? My prayer is that every person here within the sound of my voice would not say in their heart, there is no God, but from the heart would say, the Lord is my salvation. In Romans 11, the Apostle Paul says, and this ties back to the last verse, the prayer of David, right? The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So all along, it seems like the Apostle Paul is thinking a lot about Psalm 14 when he was writing Romans. Psalm 53, he was thinking a lot about this. He was going back to Scripture. He's going back to Jesus. And I wasn't planning on ending with this verse, but I feel like this is the theme for us this month. You know, let us fix our thoughts on Jesus Christ. Amen? This came out of our Bible study 2 weeks ago in Hebrews. And I'm going to plug it. You know, come on out if you can on Wednesday nights. It's been a great time. We're all learning with one another. If you can come out on Wednesday nights. If you can't, that's fine. Just read through the book of Hebrews. But fix your thoughts on Jesus. Consider Jesus. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these great words, the special song of David. We thank you that the text that we looked at today was so important that it's been repeated 3 times in the Bible, Lord God. So thank you for proclaiming and shouting, Lord. In a way, you're telling us to pay attention to your word. And we look to you, Lord, and we say, we are fools. But may it not be fools the way you define it, but may it be fools for you, Jesus. May we trust in you always. No matter how hard life may be right now, we look to you, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would give those who need extra grace, extra strength, extra hope, extra peace, extra comfort, that Jesus, you would do that now. Would you give us what we need to know that you are in control of all things? May you be our refuge today. Thank you, Father in heaven. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.